You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews and chapter 11. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you that we can do so. Thank you for your word, for your words. Thank you that we can read them and with your help understand them and have the benefit. So God, help us in these days. And God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And you would recall in the book of Hebrews and in in chapter 11, that God gives the whole list of how God's people survive, how they succeed, how they overcome, and how so. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot please God, honor God, apart from faith. It is impossible to please him. Why? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So as we're looking at God's words, and you'll notice without faith, faith, root, to be persuaded, the verb, to be persuaded about anything, to be convicted, convinced, certain, faith. And as you keep reading, it's impossible to please him. So without faith, we can't please him. And he that cometh to God must believe. Same background, persuasion, faith, believe, persuasion. Faith, you got to have faith to please him. And you got to come to God and believe that he is God. You're always God always is. I am that I am has sent me. Always his presence. You can never be out of his presence in heaven or in hell. You can never be out of his presence. He's everywhere. He has to be honored. Our world that doesn't honor him doesn't honor his presence. Now, having said that, and if you understand that he is, by faith, faith means you can't trust in yourself, in your flesh. You can't trust in anything. How are we ever going to come to grips? We are in the presence of the invisible, infinite God. Can't taste, touch, see, smell. Here we are, God. How are we ever going to deal with you? By faith. You're going to take my word that I am who I am, and you're going to believe me. Without believing, you will not, and without faith, you will not please me. And without believing, you will not, the end of verse 6. He is a rewarder, the word. He is a payer in full. He pays in full. You seek him, search for him with all your heart. Seek him, and he will reward you. It is his pleasure to warn you. And the verb, he will become a rewarder. You cannot seek God. Think of Deuteronomy and all of the Old Testament, etc. If you seek me, you shall find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't seek God without finding him, if you seek him with all your heart. Now, having said that, and in our exercise that we have done, looking at God's providence in the light of prophecy, etc., and God's pre-vision for provision, you got it, providence, management, pre-vision, provision, to take care of the whatever it is, to manage his wonderful creation, his universe, as it were. And someone just gave me the thing John did today on the with the website up there, up and off of Mars somewhere out there. And the headline of the thing was, it's a real difficult as they're seeing galaxies that they never existed. And they don't know what to do because the universe is bigger than they thought. I thought that was good. Now, keep that in mind. Now, having said that, God dealing with our head and heart, and the key, the Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, so he's outworking that. Genesis 3:15, the promise made to Adam and Eve, and the seed of the woman, and the seed of the serpent, and that has to be outworked. His wonderful person, he has to be born and die in Calvary's cross. That's which we looked at this in the morning in John. And all of that has to be worked out. So the plan, God's plan, God has a plan. God's outworking his plan. And in outworking his plan, it involves his going to the cross and dealing with humanity that he died for. Christ died for the sin of the world. He died for all. We've shared it many times. You remind yourself. You wouldn't have been created if God didn't have a plan to save you. The reason you and I are born on planet Earth is because God has made a plan so that you're not born dead in sin and lost. He died to save you. The world system has chosen, generally speaking, not to be saved. Therefore, history outworking itself, that's where we are. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and we are going to go, and God help us. So, and if you can, just go over to 1 John, you're not far away. And in 1 John chapter 5, reminding us, here we are on planet Earth, looking in this time of grace after Christ's crucifixion. And here's 1 John chapter 5. What are we doing? Well, we're here, and we to understand that he is, and he's an awesome, wonderful Savior. Now, chapter 5, sliding, if I can, down to verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcomes, it has the victory, prevails. Whoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? What are we doing? We believe and understand God is the Creator. He's the Savior. We are not caught up in evolution, communism, socialism, Marxism. We're not caught up in it. And we understand, like the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths. All men are created equal. God created us. That's a declaration. We understand that. And we represent that. And that is, the world loves darkness rather than light and doesn't want you to enjoy God's presence, to seek God, to find God, to honor God. And now, God, what are you going to do to help us on this, on our, in and on our journey through time? You're going to go and make it so that we're overcomers. The world system has no room or place for God. Hang on. Go over to chapter 4 of 1 John, and you recall in chapter 4, if I can, in the light of the context, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved, and received him as your Savior. And therefore, how do we overcome? By way of God's wonderful person and presence. God, in Christ, has made it so that we can enjoy the relationship. The relationship gives us the advantage of God over the devil. We have the advantage. God, of God, Savior and Father, we have the advantage. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so what are we going to do? Well, we're to walk by faith. Remember 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We walk by faith, by means of faith, not by sight, not by means of what we see, what we understand, because we have to what? For this whole wonderful truth, these truths about heaven and God and his awesomeness and all that he's doing. We can't see it. We can't see. All we can do is take his word that all of it happened and will happen. That's all you can do. With God. By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. God, we can't get anywhere without faith. Now, it means you don't trust yourself, etc. You trust God with all of your heart. So therefore, we're going to go and we have to overcome the world. And greater is he that is in us. So we walk by faith. We walk, we behave. How do we, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Work, homeschool, play. We go to work, school. We do whatever we do in the presence of God. Never out of the presence of God, no matter how you cut the cookie. You're never out of the presence of God. And not only do we walk by faith, we war, W-A-R, we war by faith. Weapons, 2 Corinthians 10, are not carnal. The only way we can tackle this whole arrangement is by looking to God and by faith to be an overcomer. And the world system doesn't want us to win, what doesn't want us to believe, doesn't want us to honor God. And so we walk by faith, and the war, the devil is against all of that. He hates light. Men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. He hates that. So therefore, it's war. It's war. We walk by faith. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, but over, if you would, please, to Genesis and in chapter 50. And in Genesis chapter 50, picking up if I can. Now, what do we know? We know from God, remember going back to Genesis 12, you don't have to turn there, Genesis 12, Abraham believed God, and he left Ur of Chaldees, he left the pagan, idolatrous world in which he lived. He left his family, etc., and proceeded to tow to the land of Palestine. And he left. And God took Abraham out from idolatry to go to the land of Palestine, as it were. So God took Abraham out of idolatry, out of the world system, to be a nation, a special nation, as you see in a moment, as you know. God did that. Now that's wonderful. Now God's providence, how he works, and who he works and how he works and what he does. Genesis chapter 50. Joseph, on the other hand, was in the land where Abraham was, and God took Joseph out of the land to idolatry. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. He took Joseph and had him go, be taken in his providential management. He had him go to Egypt, and his brothers all sent him away, gave him away. And therefore, he sent him into idolatry. The city, Egypt, the center of idolatry at the time. Verse 20, 50 and 20. But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God sent me here. And God is going to have Israel become a nation, Jews, for 400 years. And where are they going to grow? In Egypt. They aren't doing very well. God sends them to Egypt, and Joseph ahead of them into idolatry. In the center, that's what he did. What he did to help them. Now, in the process, just a parenthesis, where are we? When we come to know the Lord as our Savior, we're saved out of this world system. God saves us out of this world system and gives us a unique relationship to himself and gives us eternal life. And then he leaves us in the same world system, like Joseph. He leaves us in the same world. We live in the same world God saves us out of. That's what you do. John chapter 17. That's what he did. So God, having said that and keeping that in mind, now God's going to outwork history. And we've been looking at that. So here's history outworked. And now, and so if you were living in the days of Abraham, you would have had, Abraham had wonderful promises given to him about the land, but he would never have known it. He had to live and exercise his time on earth in the presence of believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Abraham walked with God and ended up with God, of course. Now, over if you could, please, over, if I can, to Daniel. And Daniel in chapter 2. And in Daniel in chapter 2, picking up, please. Now, here's history outworking itself. If you were living in the days of Daniel, Daniel lives in the time of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, etc. That's when he lived. In his wonderful, and God used Daniel to deliver his wonderful words in the book of Daniel. So here's the book of Daniel, and God is going to help us Daniel's going to help Nebuchadnezzar and him and us help understand history. Babylon is going to, Israel's put on the shelf because of unbelief. And the times of the Gentiles come in, Babylon, and Babylon rises up is at the top. The first nation, first Gentile nation to be on top when Israel is no longer. Israel's down in the bottom. Babylon. Now, if you live with David, Daniel, he's going to go, Daniel chapter 2, verse 31 and following, he's going to go and tell how history is going to go. So Daniel, you're going to live, and Media Persia is going to come along, and Greece is going to come along, and Rome is going to come along. All of those things are going to, Daniel, are you going to see them? Nope, you're just going to understand history has to outwork itself, as we've been sharing. Now, having said that, where are we? Well, here we are looking. Here's all the history behind us, and we're standing here looking, as it were, sitting, and picking up, if I can, in verse 42, and as the toes of the feet, iron and clay, remember the Roman Empire divided up, and we're part of the Roman Empire in the sense of our founding, pilgrims and all that. And as the toes of the feet are part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, a very strong and very weak. It's, no one's like Nebuchadnezzar. They're social communist and all of it. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. They're all going to be divided, but there's going to come out 10 toes. We're waiting for it. The United European community, and we're sitting here. And we thought if things would just go fast enough, and they've never been like this, if you go back to the 40s, the 50s, you would look and say, boy. And then you hit the 60s and say, boy, we're at the end. We're at the end, the 60s. Look at what happened. Look at what's happening. And then the 60s, of course, became the 90s. And here we are. Now, God, history is moving along in a most wonderful way. And we're waiting. We're waiting. In the 60s, we said, but as we come to now, this day, the world, the global situation, globally, everywhere, has never been, we've shared it, you know it better than I do, has never been like it is on planet Earth. Never. Globally. And we say, wow. Here's Ukraine and Russia going back and forth like the feuding, like the hillbillies back and forth. You're going to go back and forth. And so you wonder about Russia. And then you got the Arabs, and then you got China, and you got Islam, and you got all of those, all the stuff going on. Here's NATO. NATO is up there. Going to be. NATO is going to end, be up. That's where the 10 toes are going to come from, up there, in there. And so all of that's taking place, and it's there. And the decisions and everything are being made in how to, what they do and how they do and how they're going. They're all doing that. But we just go to the grocery store and get our pizza and do what we do as if, because it's become normal to us. The situation of 3 years, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, has become normal to us. We're just used to it. We're just used to it. And we sort of plow along. That's what we do. But history is moving along. So we say, well, boy, we've become lax. And say, well, then it must not be. Hold it. It has to work itself out. And therefore, when we come to Daniel, etc., the Lord's going to come, verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest, verse 45, that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, Media Persia, it overcame all of those nations and replaced them, And it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known unto the to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. It's a sure thing. History has to all work, and we tend to get excited, and then everything seems to cool down, understandably. But the movement is there, the crisis caused the course to change. Each crisis moves us to the next step, to the next step, to the next step. Crisis sits tight, crisis, next step. We're moving down the corridor. We have to understand that because then we get lax. I say, well, see it, we get so used to everything. People in the Ukraine are going to be, and Russia, under the both in distress, duress, they'll get used to it. They're used to it. They're used to what they do. That's how they do it. Everyone gets used to what you have. In the tribulation, it's hard to believe, but they get used to the awesomeness of the tribulation because they leave God out. And they just adjust. That's what we do. Wow. Now, having said that, and history outworks itself, Isaiah chapter 10, just to see it. Isaiah in chapter 10. And you will note, please, here's the 10 tribes in the north and the 2 tribes in the south. In Jerusalem. Now, here's the Assyrians. Just to pick up the thought. Here's history. History, the Assyrians are in power. Verse 5, 10, 5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, God using it to spank Israel, and the staff of their hand is mine indignation. God's using Assyria. We shared last time, every god, God uses the thing, but then the nation overdoes, goes beyond what it should, and God moves it to the next one. Sliding down to verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart, proud heart, of the king of Assyria, and the glory of his high looks. I'm going to judge Assyria. I'm going to raise Assyria up, and I'm going to judge it. Jeremiah, over to Jeremiah, chapter 27. Picking up, here's Babylon. And in chapter 27, would you please note verse 6 in the light of the context? And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and serving the will of God, Daniel chapter 2. I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. Verse 7. And all nations shall serve him, and his son and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar's going to be conquered. Babylon's going to be defeated by Media Persia, etc. Greece by Rome. That's going to happen. History has to outwork itself. Over to chapter 25. Go back up chapter and see that part. Nebuchadnezzar's giving the top of the pile. But, like Assyria and everything else, it has to be outworked. Therefore, chapter 25, and in verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Verse 12. It shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity. God judges them. And the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it perpetual desolations. Verse 13. And I will bring upon that land all my words, which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in the book, this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. All the nations. Everything has to work out. That's what it has to do. So we have to understand that. And things are happening, as we said, with NATO and that. I think that's awesome. NATO has to, can't be low. NATO has to wake up in the light of the Ukraine, in the light of Russia, in the light of fuel and oil and energy. They have to wake up. They have to wake up. And here's Israel's trying to get their oil line up to Spain or whatever, an oil line into Europe, etc., and all of that. They have to make a treaty and end up, Daniel 9:27, they'll have to make a treaty with the Antichrist Israel will. For 7 years, the tribulation begins. Well, and then Russia's not going to be happy, so Russia and the Arabs aren't going to be happy with that. So then you got Ezekiel 38 and 39. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here's the outworking of God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And it all has to be worked out so that we understand that here we are on this side of the cross. All of these things have taken place. We're at a time of grace. God is demonstrating his wonderful kindness to the world. And the only sign he's giving them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. As he was 3 days and three nights in the hearts of the earth, so he rose again. The only sign he's going to give to an unbelieving world is his resurrection. And it's unanswerable. History can't answer it. No one can answer it. It's just an awesome something that we can't answer. And God is showing the only sign. How? By the believing believers in the local bodies of believers across the world. He's showing his wonderful grace to the whole world. Not wrath. Wrath is coming. He's showing grace. Now, having said that and keeping that, and so God, now, then here we are. So, looking, here's God's wonderful instructions. We're on planet Earth, and we're to be, whatever we do to please him, we've got to understand by faith, we've got to give him, believing him, he's able to do exceeding abundantly, but whatever he asks, whatever he wants. And in the process, we've got to go and believe that he has a wonderful plan, Genesis 3:15. The Lord died on the cross. He has a wonderful plan to glorify himself in an awesome way. So that's what he's doing. Now, here we are looking, and we're to what? We're to be looking to God's wonderful, wonderful coming and his coming. That's what we're doing. That's what our assignment is. And that makes, that if we're looking for his imminent return, if we're looking for that return, then we're going to be very God conscious. At any moment he could come. That's his word. That's how we're to see. The next thing prophetically is the church to be taken into his presence. So, here we are looking, God, and the outworking of all that you're doing. So here we are looking for your will. And God, as we go, we are told to be looking to you, your infiniteness, your wonderful design, your wonderful plan, your wonderful purpose, God. And here we are to represent you on planet Earth in a most wonderful way. And you told us it has to be by faith. The only way we can enjoy the journey is by faith, by taking your word, as we share this morning, the word. God gives his words because he's the word. And we're to take your words in a most wonderful way and honor them and look to you with thanksgiving. You've given us a wonderful way to plan and how it's all going to be worked. So we're giving us to know your will, to know what you're doing, to know how you're doing, and to what in the meantime? Believe. Believe and be resting in his wonderful person. Every man, you may adjust to do whatever, and it seems like nothing's going on sometimes, but everything's going on. There's nothing standing still. So now, God, having said that, so we're looking to you to outwork your wonderful development, your wonderful design, and all that you're doing. And we're going to go on this journey down the corridor of time into your presence. That's what we're doing. We're representing you here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, 6, 7, 8. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. As long as we're here, we aren't there. And when we're there, we're no longer here. In the middle of that, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Looking to you, God. Now, as we go down the corridor of time, God, we're going to have to go and trust you. And over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah in chapter 55. And picking up, if I may, to remind us, and the invitation is we're there to be, to show the grace of God, and that many would come to know him as their Lord and Savior. Chapter 55, Isaiah, is a worldwide invitation way back then. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which is satisfieth not? Hearken, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Etc. Now, God, it's an invitation, a wonderful invitation. It's there, if everyone would believe. And now we represent that wonderfully in this time of grace before the Lord comes. We represent that. And if you want to, hold your finger here a minute and go over to Isaiah and chapter 45. And you'll see again Isaiah and chapter 45. God would have us to believe, but the world doesn't want to believe. The world doesn't want to get saved. Therefore, chapter 45, picking up if I may, if I can, I'm going to read verse 21. Isaiah 45, verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time, old time? God has. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, verse 22, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness. It shall not return. Then unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. God, back over to Isaiah 55. God, it's a wonderful invitation. Now, God, how are we to exercise it? In verse 6, remember what you read? Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please me, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and those that diligently seek him. Chapter 55, verse 6, seek him. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. So we've got Isaiah, you got Hebrews 11:6 sliding into the Old Testament. What God would do to everyone, God would save whosoever that would believe. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy. Remember, we had the sure mercies of David in verse 3. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For reason, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So what are we going to do? By faith, we understand why. God's ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. That's what we have to know. What do you understand? I don't understand for sure. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go. Interesting. I think about it. You probably think about it. I think of NATO and the maneuvers. How's Russia? Russia has to have this. Russia's not going to be, Russia's not a happy camper at the moment. And here's Ukraine, and here's NATO, and here's all these, Israel, and the Arabs, and the Iran, and the nuclear, and all of this. Now, so therefore God, therefore what? Yet no, your ways and your thoughts are higher than the heavens. That's what they are. In verse 8, your ways and thoughts, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We're two different pages. How are we going to do it? By faith. By faith. Here's the person that's a professional and a doctor or something, and the doctor has all the information in his head and heart and experience, and what are you going to do? Well, we don't know all these things, so we sit down, and the doctor has to go and do what he does. And what do? We trust him. That's what we do. We have to trust him. He knows what he's doing. You have to trust God. He knows what he's doing. It's beyond you, beyond me. We have to trust him. That's all you can do. And that's, God said, that's enough. You'll please me. I'm pleased. I'm a rewarder. I'm a payer in full if you seek me with all your heart. You won't be disappointed. I'll help you in all the journey you're going down. Now, having said that, point, in the light of that, in the light of God's word, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's no way that we're going to get together. You couldn't even attempt it. You're going to trust me. That's all you can do. You're going to, by faith, walk by faith, and war by faith. You're going to proceed against all the enemy, against all the obstacles, by faith. You're going to trust me. That's all you're going to do. Verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God, I'm going to help you. Now, and we had the rain, and it's very, and we had some snow, so you know it's winter out there. Had a little snow, so you know. And we may have another little snow. And when it is snowing, or whatever, when you think of all those zillions of snowflakes, all different, marvel of marvels, God said, my thoughts, without turning there in Isaiah 4, Psalm 40, my thoughts to you are more than the sand of the sea, the snowflakes. Wow. Isaiah 55, verse 10, as the snow falls to the ground, so is my word being outworked. As the snow comes down, my word is being outworked. I'm doing that which is going to happen. I told you it's going to happen. You may never see it, and then again you may. But God, what are we going to do? We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God, as we read your word, we know from Daniel 2 and that all of these things have to, the nations have to rise and fall. Antichrist and all of these wonderful things have to happen. They have to happen. That's according to his word. He said it, it's going to be. The scripture is going to back up his wonderful, wonderful word and plan, because his script, everything he said is going to be outworked in a most wonderful way. So what are we going to do as we journey down the corridor of time and journey into God's wonderful, wonderful presence coming up? What are we going to do? God, we're going to do and do what? We're going to go and trust you. So in the process, we're going to adjust to reality, keep adjusting. Things are changing and you adjust. You don't conform to it. You stay steady on course. Keep your heart right, your head right, and go down the corridor of time under the conditions, whatever they are, And you're going to trust God. If a hamburger is $10, you pay $10. And if the hamburger is $25, you may not get a hamburger. How's that? You may not get one. Then get a chicken burger or whatever. And you're going to adjust. Adjust to reality. Keep adjusting. Adjust to reality. And don't be turned away because things happen in your life, hard, difficult things. Don't get turned away and turn God off. Don't lose his presence. Don't leave him out. When everything is said and done, and you've got at the top of the pile is God. At the bottom of the pile, holding the whole pile, is God. And the outworking of the pile is God's. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, and the whole judgment is God's. He'll work it out. That's why. Because we're saved. We trust God. We're overcomers. We're to be overcomers. We're to show we're overcomers. The kids need to see. The old people need to see. People need to see. We're overcomers. Why can we be overcomers? Why aren't we knocked down? Because we're looking to God in the thick and thin of it. Now, having said that, so don't be blaming. Don't blame God. We shared all those things. Don't blame God. Say, God, why did you let that happen? You should have said, what are you after, God? You let it happen in my life. What are you after? God, I want to learn the process. In the process of experience, the college of hard knocks, I want to learn, God. Teach me, like our Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That's what I want, God. So therefore, don't be going and blaming God. Don't be angry with God. Don't be angry. People get angry and bitter. They do. Get bitter with the church or whatever. No, you don't want to do that. Don't get turned off. Don't turn away. Don't blame God. Don't be angry with God's order, how he does things. And God does things. And there's a zillion reasons, but we don't know why and how for everything in his grace. So, God, you have to do what you do. And therefore, we're going to go and look to you. And you don't need to explain yourself. We shared all those things. God doesn't need to explain himself. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please me. Believe and trust me. Trust me. I can only, like in Genesis 18, Abraham had it correct. God, you can only do right. You can't do wrong. You're right, Abraham. God cannot do wrong in anything. Everything has to be right. Whether we understand it, we could think it's all wrong. But in God's holy heaven, it's going to come out right. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful order, he doesn't need to explain himself. And here we are looking to God, and God is never going to be disappointed. We share that. God's never going to be discouraged. He's not. God isn't disappointed. And we share that or remind yourself of that. That we get disappointed, we get discouraged. Discouraged, disappointed, depressed. We get all those words. We have them. And why? Because we're responding to our failure in some area or some other thing, word, thought, or deed. And we respond, and we feel negatively about ourselves or negatively about something. And we feel that way, and we do that. But God was never disappointed. Because remember, we just did that. God expects how much out of your old nature? How much out of your old nature? Zero. How does he tell you to look at your old nature? Dead. In sins. Dead things don't be a problem. Do you understand? If you want to enjoy a good chit-chat, go to the local cemetery and sit down and tell them whatever you want. And you'll be surprised. They're very content. And they won't give you no argument about whatever stupid thing you say. Well, because they're going to trust him. God, we're looking to you to deal with us, and you're never disappointed. That's why we go through the cycles. Because I didn't mean to do that. God said, that's normal when you don't trust me. That's what happens. When you aren't trusting me, all of these things happen. And he lets them happen so that we learn. We learn and relearn and unlearn, unlearn, relearn, and relearn again. That's how we do it. And God helps us because we forget God. We do things. And we do them. And what can I say? We do them and they just happen. We didn't mean to say that. We didn't mean to do that. We didn't mean to spill the milk. We didn't mean to do that. You see? You don't mean. It just happens. What are we learning? We're frail. And if we don't pay attention to things, obviously they could be broken or whatever. But we're learning what? To be trusting. Trusting and all the things in my little life and your lives too, probably. Things that happen, things that I do, don't do. What's it doing? What's it doing to us? It's helping us what? See, I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself. God said, good. Good. I'm learning not to trust myself. You see. What are you learning? You see. Don't trust yourself. Now, having said that, over if I can, God, John chapter 16. John chapter 16, picking up if I can. And you remember, and all that goes with it, John 16, in the upper room, giving all the wonderful truths, we come to verse 12. After all of it, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear, you cannot carry them now. You're not in a place to understand. And you have to grow. You have to learn. That's how we do it. God, I wish I knew. You'll have to wait. And God will help us. Here's the Bible. A wonderful, wonderful word. And all the truths of the Bible. And we learn them. We learn these truths. Awesome truths. But we haven't even started to learn them. And all the other things we don't understand. But we understand what we do. And God knows we don't understand. So we have to go and wait and work and grow. And we'll know in due season if it is God's will. And so, in closing, over to 1 Thessalonians. And we started, without faith, it's impossible to please him. In 1 Thessalonians, you remember, 1 Thessalonians is up in the front of the New Testament when things, in history, New Testament history, and that. And right in the middle, 50 AD, and that. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, 1 Thessalonians, here they are, northern Greece, great persecution. And in verse, they heard the gospel, the apostle Paul delivered the gospel, the good news. Verse 5, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, dynamite, dynamic, power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Much certainty, surety, wonderful, 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 conviction, perfect certitude. There came to you of truth, the word of truth, and the truth will set you free. It came in much assurance. You know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. Now, and they had that wonder, and all of people around, the cities around them, other areas, they all knew the Thessalonians had truly, truly got saved. They want to know, here we are, and all the assemblies across the world, the believe people ought to know that you are saved. That's why we're here. We gather together on the Lord's Day to honor his wonderful person and to all work his wonderful will. And so therefore, God, what are we doing? We're waiting, verse 10. And to wait, to serve God, serve the living and true God, the end of verse 9. Verse 10, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We're waiting. That's what we're doing. We're waiting. We're here, doing what we do. They were there. Persecution, everything is there. Look at 2 Thessalonians. A little bit later, they had, again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or fitting, because that your faith, the little word, the body of truth that you believe, God's word, that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. God, their faith is growing. The more you grow, God's going to honor. And that's what they're doing. And, how is it happening? Because, verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you and in the churches of God for your patience bearing up under the load and faith in all your persecution. Persecutions, plural, and tribulations that you endure. Wow, verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing that God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. God's going to make things right, but in the meantime, you represent him in the most wonderful way. We're waiting for his coming. That's what they're doing. They're waiting. And in closing, again, Thessalonians chapter 4, and you recall, I will go directly, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep that died. Then people died. They're ahead of us, but Larry Larson and all, they're ahead of us. We're coming along. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, we're still on earth, shall be caught up by force, taken up with great power. Remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet purpose, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Even though you know verse 5 and all that, chapter 5, you know the times and seasons, but you're looking for the Lord's return. That's what you're doing. God's wonderful working. He works out everything in his own wonderful way. If we can, God help us. Father, thank you for your word. A little bit, help us understand. We need to have a wonderful relaxing, as you said in Isaiah, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. God, we need to be resting in who you are by faith, that we might enjoy the outworking of that which you do. It's our time, our turn on planet Earth. So God, help us in every way as we look to you, and our Father will thank you. Even so, come. In Christ's name, amen.